Okay, so we're holding on page Kuf Lamed Aleph, Perek Zayin, Oiz Gimel. Mavaya Rambam, the Rambam explains, Mavaya Rambam Oid, Rambam explains further, De'elu Shtea Pchisos, Pchisos HaSichlios or Pchisos HaMidos, that these two shortcomings, the intellectual shortcomings as well as the shortcomings in midos, shesteyn ma'akves ba'ad giluyei hanevuah, that both hold back revelations of nevuah. B'chol ze yesh be'em efresh ve'evdel. Nevertheless, there is a difference between the two, between the shortcomings, the intellectual shortcomings, and between the shortcomings of midos. Ma'alas ha'sichliyos hem mitnoi ha'nevua shetiene b'shleimus. We saw the Rambam says that the ma'ala, the intellectual ma'ala, that has to be b'shleimus. One of the conditions of nevua is that the person should have a shleimus in a seichel. Again, what exactly that means, I don't know, because obviously it's, the word shleimus is clearly very relative. I don't know if it's relative to the generation, relative to a person's own capabilities that he developed his own whatever his seichel is. That's I don't know what that, what is defined, the definition here of shleimus haseichel. But anyway, there is a difference between that tnai, that condition of the shleimus haseichel, umitzad milus hamidos, whereas mitzad the milo of the midos. Dai b'roiv ha'midos v'ha'hichazkut behen. It's enough to just have the majority of your midos, right? That if you were able to strengthen and to hold good midos in most areas and most of the midos, that is enough in nevuah. We don't expect, right? It's not a Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect the navi to be perfect in all the midos. So he has to have a certain level of intellectual perfection, but as far as his midos goes, as far as his, you know, behavior and his we shouldn't call that behavior. It's like his characteristic traits. They don't have to be all perfect, but he's got to be in most of them. He has had to reach a certain level of perfection, and so that's a very big fundamental difference between the Maila of the Seichel and the Maila of the Midos. Yesoid Hagdorazu. So, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, what's the basis for this classification, for this Hagdara? Dine Klal HaDovar, the general rule is, Shekol HaBo'o, Kol HaShpo'o, Shibo'o Milmal Lamato, Misagelet Le'atzma Et Chukei HaMekablim. Any ashpa, any influence, any influence that comes from above, or any flow, right? Any flow that comes from above down below, takes on the laws of the receivers down below. Okay, it funnels in. When it funnels in, to we'll speak in the following terms. If something is funneling in from a higher dimension down into the lower dimension, it's going to take on the hagdoros, the classifications, the boundaries and barriers of the lower dimension. I'll give you an example. We had last week's parsha that the malachim came down to Avram. So we find, as Farm explained, right, a malach be'etzim doesn't have a body. Certainly not a physical body, the way we have physicality. But when he comes down into this world and appears to someone, he appears to them in a physical body because he has to take on the look and the borders of the lower dimension that he's now moved down into. So any ashpa that comes from above, when it funnels down below, it takes on that. The look of the lower, right?
It's the limitations,
right? Huh? The limitations, yeah. The chukim, the chukim akablum. וזה נוהג ממסד עד התפחות, גם ביחס הגדולה העליונה. And this is noyeg at all levels, from top to bottom, yeah, even in relation to the gdula ha'elyona, to the supreme greatness, meaning even in respect to God, in respect to Hashem. V'yesh ladas, and you have to know, ki gama b'china shanu mechana moisa b'chinas ein sof baruch hu, gam keini b'chinas gilui hu. Even that aspect that we refer to as the infinite one, the aspect of the infinite, the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, that too is a Bechir revelation. The Nefesh HaChayim makes the same point. It says it explicitly, that the Ein Sof that we see in the Zohar, meaning the Ein Sof that we speak about, is already a revelation and is not the essence of Hashem, that hidden, concealed essence. That it's not. Ein Sof is already the first step of revelation. Ve'im she'ein anu miyachsim lebechina zu shum shem. And although we don't attribute to this bechina, to this aspect, any name, ve'hi remuze bekutzo shel yud shem avaya baruch hu. And we find in the Svarim that the Ein Sof is referred to as hinted to in the kutzo shel yud, in like that little, you know.
Ein Sof.
The Ein Sof, right? Because the Svarim say that the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is Keneged the Sfiras. So it says that the Yud is Keneged the Sfira of Chachma, the He is Keneged the Sfira of Bina, the Vav is parallels is Keneged the six Sfiras of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzachot, and Yesod, and the He, the last He, is Keneged the Malchus. And the Kutzah Shel Yud, right, the little Kutz of the Yud, that is Keneged the Keser, which is the Bechina of Ein Sof. Keser is the Bechina of Ein Sof. So we find that there is no, and the same thing, by the way, goes with the Shemos. You know, there's another division that Arizal does, which is he takes the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's really the Zohar does it, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he fills it out with Osias. So, like a Yud, right, you with what's called the milu, you fill it out, it's yud vav dalet, right, and the hey would become either hey yud, hey hey, or hey aleph. You can fill it out with any of those letters. The simon is your hey shmei rabo, yud hey aleph. So it could be filled, the hey could be filled with a yud, or could be filled with a hey, it could be filled with an aleph. So, and then you have two heys. So, and then the vav could be written as vav vav, or vav yud vav, or vav Aleph of. So the Arizal says that there are four basic miluim of the Shem Havaya, and those are what's called the Shemos of Av, Sag, Ma, Ben. I'm not getting into it so much what it is, but in a shorthand we'll say Av is the Gematria 72. If you filled out Yud Kei Vav Kei with Yudin, so you have Yud Vav Dalet Hey Yud Vav Hey Yud, that comes out to the Gematria of 72. If you filled out the Yud Kei Vav Kei with those same Yudin in the Hays, but in the Vav you put in an Aleph instead of a Yud, Vav Aleph Vav instead of Yud Vav, so it's 9 less than your previous name, that would give you 63. That's the name called Sag. If you take a Vav, if you fill the Hays and the Vavs with Alephs, okay, so now you'll have Yud Vav Dalet Hey Aleph Vav Aleph Vav Hey Aleph, and that's in the Gematria 45. That's the Shem Ma. And then you took it and filled, you left the Vav with only a Vav, Vav Vav, two letters, Vav Vav, and you filled the Hays with Hays. So you have Yud Vav Dalet Hey Hey Vav Vav Hey Hey. That's the Gematria 52. So these are four root names, as the way that Arizal says, and that's Keneged these same bechinas that we said of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Shem Av, the 72 value, would be Keneged the Yud, which is the bechin of Chachma. The 63 Gematria, right? Sag, the Gematria of the 63 would be Keneged the He Rishoina of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Keneged the Bina. The Shem Ma, which is filled out with Alves, that would be Keneged the Vav of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is connected those six spheres called, in parts of language, it's called Ze'er Anpin, but it's Chesed Gvurah Tiferes Netzach Hod and Yesod. And the Hey, and then the last name, the Ben, right, is going to be connected to Hey Achroina, the last Hey of the Yudkei Vavkei, which is connected to Malchus. But again, there's only four of those names. Connected to Ein Sof, there's no name. There's no representation because it can't fit into a name. The idea that it's infinite means that there's no limitation, no boundary, no name can be used to limit. Once you name something, you're giving it a certain limitation, right? The name Av, as great and as high as it is in the Yud, right? But it's not a Hey. It's a Yud and it's not a Hey. You've like limited in a certain, to a degree. Whereas the Ein Sof, you can't limit to a name in any sort. So the most that there is, right, there's no name, but and the most that there is in the Yud Kei Vav Kei is a, it's hinted to in the koitz of the Yud. There's like a hint to it. But it doesn't, right, it can't be represented in a letter itself. That's, so, even still, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, it is still a bechina, it is still an aspect of revelation. As you can see just from the virtue of the fact that it's actually hinted to in the Kutz of the Yud, that's still a revelation of some sort, right? There is a revelation of Ein Sof. Because what's before that aspect of Ein Sof, of the infinite, there is no expression that can be used even in a concealed way, even in a hidden way, even in a hinting way. It's beyond any capacity of speech whatsoever. And what we say in the Pasuk, right, that before the mountains were born, before you began the world and everything in it, right, you always were God. Gamzel bechinas Ein Sof. That's also referring to the bechina of Ein Sof. Shime bechinas hagilui l'shem ha'avai of Abriya. That's also referring not to the that hidden essence of God that's unthinkable, unexpressible. Certainly, that's also referring to the bechina of Ein Sof, which is a bechina of revelation. And when we say that it's a bechina of revelation, the revelation is for, here he's adding another few words, which explains what this farm say. What is the point of revelation? The point of revelation, of course, is for the purpose of the universe, for the purpose of existence and the creation. So, v'anu makirim bo, and we recognize in it, es hanitzchius ha'elyoin lifnei abriya, ube'es abriya, v'acher abriya. And we recognize in that bechina of revelation, that which is called Ein Sof, the supreme, you know, the upper everlastingness before the creation, during the creation, after the creation. Atahu atchali nivra oilam, atahu mishin nivra ha oilam, atu boilam hazeh, v'atahu lo oilam haba. V'zeh lefishi es soide shel bechinas Ein Sof. So the vart is that's according to this yisoid that we said, that the yisoid of the bechin of Ein Sof is to appear inside of the limited existence. Right? He's funneling, so to say, a part of himself, right? Funneling some of his infinite light, so to say, into this limited existence. Limited world, universe, whatever you want to call it. The fichach gam hin estagla the segula se'inyanim amugbalim shegam is galusa hanelama bebchinas kutzer shel yod he nivcheres al pi sidrei avaya mugbeles. So therefore, it too, that bechin of the Ein Sof, also took on the limited inyanim, that segula of the limited inyanim, right? That even in its hidden revelation in the bechin of the Kutz Shel Yud is still going to be defined, it's still going to be like work, so to say, through the orders of the limited havaya, of the limited existence. V'lozois ha'sogas. Okay, so wait. So now, before, right, this is a little bit tough if somebody's not used to these concepts. So that basically means that our conceptualization of this bechina that's called Ein Sof, right, which is Hashem's, on the flip side, it's Hashem's revelation, Hashem revealing himself as the infinite one, as the Ein Sof, that itself is already as subtle as a revelation as it is, as pure of a revelation as it is, right, as limitless and as unbounded, you know, non-bounded as it is, it is still limited to a degree in that it fits into the human mind, so to say. It's that we have this hasaga, we have this understanding, that we have this conceptualization of, oh, there's a God that's infinite. That itself, that very thought, because the truth of the matter is, when we use such a lashon, any human speech and any human thinking is already bound, it's already a boundary. What does it mean, infinite? That means it's a relationship to everything we know. It means it's past everything we know, right? It's not bound by any limitation that we know. But that itself is like kind of a low, like that's like a low hasaga. That's like a low way to define
Why?
Hashem.
It's something we can't.
Well, it's like a little kid, yeah, a little kid saying like, "My father is like, oh, he is a genius." So, well, what do you mean he's a genius? Like, he's smarter than any kid in my class. Like, okay, but you're 5 years old. Why is that such a shevach? That's pretty silly.
No, but what if you said he's smarter than any human in the world?
Well, again, we're talking about God. So, right,
no,
that's exactly it.
It's not
so
in, like, in our...
No, that's exactly it. So if you're going to say, right, God, that's a good... Yeah, you say God is smarter and he's bigger and he's more capable than anyone here. Like,
than anything,
okay,
that ever existed.
You. Right, so our limits... So that's silly.
What is it then? I'm like, it's more than...
Right. That's but no, what I mean, see, that Maisa, the Gemara says, right? The Gemara says we wouldn't be allowed to say Hakel Hagodol Hagibor Vanaira.
Yeah,
wouldn't be able to refer to Hashem with these attributes if it wasn't for the fact that the Torah said we should in Chazal, you know, Rekaveh in the Shemoneh Esrei, that we should. We have to understand that Klape the Rabbanu Shalom, relative to the Rabbanu Shalom, this is like small stuff, but nevertheless, we have to relate. That's why we relate to him with our capabilities, our world, and that's exactly what this is. We have to just be aware of that. We have to be aware that, yes, on the one hand, we have to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our Kalim. We have no other way to relate to him except with the human mind. And therefore, Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam. The Torah speaks in human language. It's probably like, yeah, because that's the way to make the connection. But we have to realize that that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing himself down kiveyachol into human shoes, so to say. He's bringing himself down into a way that can be revealed to us, but that has no connection whatsoever to his essence. He's not just like not... He's not. What does infinite mean? Infinite just means not finite. Just to say that he's just not finite, he's just not bound to anything we know, for the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's a nothing. But that's the maximum that we have, and that maximum that we have is just him funneling into. That's the revelation of funneling into our dimension, and that's the max. But it's not indicative of his essence, which is completely off, out of reach for us.
When we say there is a gila of an Ein Sof, we're saying that in our hasagas of Ein Sof, we also don't have a hasag of Ein Sof.
Right, right.
What's the gila of the Ein Sof then?
Our hasag of the Ein Sof. Is a negative understanding, right? It's like the Rambam says by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like, I understand that he's not limited. So, now we go right over here. Lezois, and therefore, Ha'asoga shel hanavuah muchrachas lios hakolponim berichuk mechitza achas. The asag of nevuah, that attaining nevuah, will always have to be with at least a distance one mechitza of one division. It's built into the system that there's going to have to be a mechitza. Shetovei anevua mebchinas agiloy ayosin nelam bechinas ein sof. That the nevua will come from an aspect of even the most hidden giloy in the bechin of the ein sof. Shemisham nevuas Moshe mafia, which is where the nevua of Moshe appears. V'hainu dekom mashebo biyachas shel giloy hayaniglul Moshe afagiloy ayosin nelam. Meaning that what came relative in the as per relative to the gilui of the Rabbanu Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu got the most concealed things nizgala were revealed to him. And there was nothing held back from him. The only thing that was held back from Moshe Rabbeinu was something that can't even be revealed in a concealed way, meaning that above the Bechin of the Ein Sof. Like we said, the Bechin is Ein Sof is already a Mechitza. It's already a revelation, which is Hashem's funneling down into something that's Shaykh to us. And that's that Mechitza that has to exist in any Nevu whatsoever, in Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Nevu at the level of Bechin is Ein Sof.
What does that mean?
Bechin Ein Sof is the first Mechitza. It's that where Hashem had that initial Giloy.
So you understood what was Ein Sof? Or like, oh, at Ein Sof?
He had whatever this means. I mean, we're not in Moshe Rabbeinu's Dargan, we can't really chop it, but in Seichel, this is what he's saying, is that Moshe Rabbeinu got a level of Nevuah from that deepest thing, that what's only hinted to in the Kutzah Shel Yud, he had a Shaychus to. He had a Giloy of. V'zeh soid inyin ha-mechitza ha'achas sha'oma. And that's the secret of the one Mechitza that he said. That the entire Metzias and all of its revelations and all its hidden things, none of it was held back from Moshe. And this is enough, he's really like saying, we're hinting something here. This is enough for a Chacham and a Meivin Vidaitoi. But really, we can't expand on this further in speech. And this is from the Madrega of Moshe. That the roots of the whole Havaya, of the whole existence, are included in him. Even that aspect of the root that the will of above, like God, the godly will, so to say, the Rotzen is the highest. That's the Bechin of the Ein Sof. The Leman Kiyuma Shel Havaya, that in order that the Havaya should exist, that's that. Even that was called Moshe Rabbeinu. That the highest level of the Rotzen Elyon, really, the Rotzen Elyon of the Baruch Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu was holding there. Now, here he gets to the Iker as far as where he's going with this and being. I mean, that what we just saw now is really mitzad. He's showing the mechitza, like we said, that's the mechitza of the seichel, like we said in previous shiurim. And being that the content of the limitations are primarily due to the midos of a person that can never be in utmost perfect purified state. Lefishe tochnam shel amidos bigvulim yesoidam. Because the content of midos, the inyan of midos, are all fundamentally based in the boundaries, in the limitations of this world. Val pi roiv, and thus usually, taras mida achas bishleimus, so teres umisnagedes letaras mida acheres betzad shleimusahi. The norm is, usually, if you are perfect in one mida, it comes on the cheshbon of another mida. It normally comes at the cost of another mida. Right? If you purified one mida completely, it opposes and contradicts the purity or the purification of another mida, of getting a shleimus in the other mida. Lefichach, therefore, right? People, a person who is a tremendous, tremendous Baal Chesed, right? And he reaches mamash an unbelievable level of Chesed, it will inhibit him from being able to use Midas Adin when he's supposed to. He will not know how to set boundaries where he's supposed to. That's a problem. Lefichach, therefore, kevon shehagbola muchrachas, since the limitation is absolutely necessary, im ki mitzad atzeichel tzorch sheyavoy kuloi bishleimusoi, so if mitzad atzeichel that hagbola, I'm sorry, if mitzad atzeichel it needs that it's going to be completely bishleimus, mitzad amidus nidus hakolponim yu mezukachim b'roiv amidus. But mitzad amidus, all that's necessary is that she become purified in most of the midos. Shekein amida nesenes, because the very idea of mida, the very measure itself, midos really means measures, right? The very measure itself demands shekol advorim amugbolim sheyesh bem stiros sheyinidoinim al pirubom, that all the limited things will have stiros, will have contradictions, and therefore, since that's the mahus of midos, therefore they're going to have to be judged al pi the roiv. We have to look at the big picture. Al pi roiv is midos, are his midos refined? That's the ikar. So what he's saying is like this: seichel. You know, the Arizal points out that the person's head, right? In the head of the person, you might have two eyes, two ears, and two nostrils, right? So there's a concept of left, right, and center in the head as well. But the head is all together. The head is all together. Whereas when you begin from the shoulders down, there the arms mamish separate from the body. And the legs again are separated from each other. There's actually a real division that takes place. And that is really indicative of the fact that the seichel comes from a place of unity. The seichel, because it's intellectual, because it's not bound by physicality, all it is, it's thought. And thought is not in the olam hamaisa, right? The olam hamaisa is what breaks things in fragments, things automatically, right? The world we live in is three-dimensional. It's fragmented. It has borders to it. It's got different parts to it. So the body down, which is the part of us, actually the torso, right, from the shoulders to the waist, is considered the many form the makom of the midos. It's the makom of the character traits, because that's where our heart is. Now midos are really connected to our heart. Choyves halavavos, okay. So, and then the feet down is like the most, you know, gashmius aspect of the person, and that's considered relating to the maisa, you know. But one way or the other, from the body part of us, not the head part of us, the head, the seichel, is coming from a place of be'etzem unity. Whereas the body, which is including our midos and maisa, that is all rooted and in fragmentation, in the hagbolis, in the gvulim of the world. And therefore, it actually shows itself in that. That's what the Arizal says, in that our arms separate from our body. They're hanging, they're separated from our body. So what that is showing is the same Yisoid that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe here is saying. Let's say, right, we know that, for example, Alpi Kabbalah, the right hand, yeah, even really comes out from Rashi, and you know, you have the right hand is the Midas HaChesed, is indicative of the Midas HaChesed, and Midas HaDin will be the left, right? So that's exactly it. They're in a state of boundaries, and when a person makes a perfect, is mashlim himself, he perfects one, it's automatically soyser. That itself contradicts the other midah. The other midah, there's a very, very deep level where they can become connected and integrated to a certain degree, but because we're living in this physical world, it will al pi roiv, al pi roiv. That's what Rebbeinu Meir says, right? In general, it will not reach that level of perfection where every single midah of the person is completely, perfectly integrated into one whole. And that's not what the Rebbeinu Shalom even expects of us. He expects us to get to a point where the majority of the midahs are perfected. And when the person is perfected to that degree, he will look like a very good person. He might have a little deficiency here or there in a specific limited area, but when you look at him as a whole, he will look like a very, he will look like a Baal Shleimus. You know? He will look to us as a Shalim, and he'll look to the Baruch Shalom as a Shalim. That's the way Baruch Shalom will look at him, as a Shalim that he'll bring his Nevuah down to. So this is a very important Yisoid to realize that there's an inherent, it's very, very Chashav Yadiyah also, that there's an inherent stira, contradiction between the midas of a person. And when you work on one to perfect one, you might be hurting another one. Now, on the other hand, the Divrei Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua Heller, uses this very same Yesod as a method of curing your midas. This is an important thing to know. In Divrei Yeshua, was a Talmud of the Reb Chaim Volozhiner. It's a fascinating sefer, a Musar sefer with a lot of Chokhmas HaNefesh. If anybody wants to learn like a sefer that's like mamish, a psychology book, and real, like his forum, both the, he has Chosin Yeshua, which is on helping a person improve his Limud Torah, and the Divrei Yeshua is on Musar. Both his forum are filled with unbelievable psychological insight. So in Perek Beis, in Maimer Beis, Perek Beis in Divrei Yeshua, okay, Beis. Maimer Beis, Perek Beis. He makes a perek out of this, which he calls Bibir Mishkala Eitz Lachlef Yetzer B'Yetzer. How to get to that, the Mishkala Eitz is like advice, right, that will help you Lachlef Yetzer B'Yetzer, to switch Yetzer with the Yetzer. So he gives it, he says, what happens, you know, you person is always a collection of many different aspects, many, and you always, you know, you have more than one Yetzer, generally speaking. Different Yitzharim. So he says, you should use one Yitzhar to combat the other Yitzhar. He says, it's like fascinating. He gives an example. It's a funny. He says, let's say you're a guy, Adam, Shebetivoy Eine Shekel Alatayra. Your nature is that you're not able to sit and hover and learning. And sit and learn Torah for, you know, with a lot of energy and extended amount of time. It's just not your thing. And then the person has another midirah. He's very, very far from being able to withstand things. Like, sablanut here doesn't mean patience in the way that's used in modern Hebrew. It means his ability to suffer, so to say, his ability to accept things. So that when he hears somebody like cursing him out, right? So he hears somebody who's like, you know, ripping at him. He suffers tremendously. It just destroys him. And that's a midirah. That's not good. We should be able to withstand. We should be able to hear someone, you know, deride us and curse us out, whatever it is, and it shouldn't really faze us. All he is just a person, you know. So but this guy, he just it destroys him. So sometimes he will stay late in the Beis Medrash. He won't leave the Beis Medrash. He'll stay late and just hover and learn, and he'll just sit there, mamish, learning. Lashaya there, because he knows. Kibavoyal base, when he comes home, yekadmu ponav kilos zugasa eshakasha lo lesavim. He knows that the cursings of his wife are going to make him crazy. His wife, you know, he knows that his wife's going to have all sorts of tainus on him, and she's like, you know, I think I'll just stay in the basement and learn. And he's like, you know, learning up a storm over there. He says like the Navi says in Mishle even less than this. It's better to live in the desert than to live with a woman who's like filled of arguments and anger. So he swapped his Yetzer of Bittul Torah with his Yetzer of Kaptonus. He has a Yetzer of Kaptonus. When somebody tells him off, when somebody like speaks not nice to him or her, he gets really mad, it destroys him, and he just prefers not to have to deal with it. So he used that Yetzer of Kaptonus, he used it to fight his Yetzer of Bittul Torah, and he taka learned. And he came out winning twice. He was Isaac and Torah in time. He didn't end up getting into a fight with his wife. Maybe when he gets home, he's going to. So he's learning there till she falls asleep. Now, then he says, sometimes you have a person who's got like, he's a Bal Nefesh Rechava. What does Bal Nefesh Rechava mean? He likes good food. He likes a nice house, a nice big house, nice to eat, likes to eat good food. And he likes to wear fancy clothing. Okay, that's a Bal Nefesh Rechava. But he has another chisaron besides that. He's a lazy guy. And he doesn't like to work a lot. So he, that person, might, you know, back off from his seeking out the pleasures that he likes. He'll stay off of all those pleasures just so that he's not going to have to rack up a bill that he's going to have to work his head off in order to pay. So it's worth it for him. He's lazy. He doesn't enjoy it. He can't work more than 2 hours a day. Yeah, and he's just not going to be able to afford all the stuff that he really likes. So he'll combat his redifas hatanugas, his love and his yitzhara to like live the good life. He combats it with the fact that he's a lazy bum. He doesn't really want to do anything. You know, he's like, so he's fighting one chisar and one yetzer. Gamu hichlif yetzer be yetzer acher. He's chain swapping one yetzer with the other yetzer. Uvetoch kach kavash bat avoysev in the frotzes. And in the meantime, he manages to conquer his taivus that just burst out. You have to see the whole idea over there, the whole parak over there, the way he describes it. But he's basically giving that this is a person can, if a person can analyze himself, he can sometimes, you know, use one Yetzirah to conquer another Yetzirah. He says it gets more complicated. Sometimes there's something that has in it a number of components. You might have four or five different components of Yetzirah. Like, you know, it gets a little bit more intricate. But the point is, all this is stemming from the fact that our midos are fragmented. And since they're fragmented, since they're in pieces, they're not together, it's not a whole. So what happens is you can pump one up, and when you pump that one up, the other one might suffer a bit. And when you, and I'm just pointing out that can also actually be a cure. As the way the Divrei Yeshua says it, but one way or the other, that is the reason that when it comes to the inyan of midos, as opposed to the seichel, comes to the inyan of midos, all the Rabbanim Shem requires of the navi is he's going to be perfect in most of the traits, and not in all of them, because that's what olam hazeh is. That's what being a human being is. Human being, right? The godless of Nebuah is that the human being can get messages and hear the Dvar Hashem, speak to us, you know, get word from Hashem himself. And part of being a human being is just that, is that your midas are usually, even great, great people are not going to be able to be completely 100% in every single area. Well, Be'ez Hashem, we should be zeicha first of all shleimus in any one midah, but Be'ez Hashem, we should also get shleimus in oivah midas. Yeah, good luck.